Welcome to CS Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 161 of CS Radio. I'm James Michael DeAngelis.
And I'm Natty Leach.
Natty, we have survived the first two career fairs of the year.
Just barely.
Just barely is correct. I'm hanging on by a thread here.
But you know what? It's going to be great. And students have seemed so happy. Employers have seemed so happy.
So happy. It was the Career Link, our first one back. That really was a more joyous occasion than I expected. Students were so excited to be here. The employers were so happy to be back on campus. Really, as we were talking about it earlier, even if they had a little complaint or they were missing a package or something, they said it with a smile.
Yes.
And they're like, it's no big deal, but I don't have anything that I shipped here. Don't worry about it. It was a really nice day. And as we are recording this, we have engineering career days ahead of us. By the time you hear this, we'll have run that gauntlet as well. And I think that's also going to be a huge success. So we are in it. The school year is officially and fully underway. And to mark that occasion, Sam's back in the studio.
I am indeed. Thanks for having me back, guys.
Oh, Sam, we missed you for our premiere, but we're so glad you're here. And, you know, what did you do with your summer, man?
It was a good summer. Relaxing summer in San Francisco. Continued the freelance media work I was doing for the sports information company, RotoWire. Continued doing that. And I actually took up one of you guys' suggestions. I did a LinkedIn learning course.
Nice.
On Adobe After Effects. So I'm a little bit of a motion graphic designer right now.
Well, that's we're always looking to spruce up our YouTube intro outros.
So I made a couple outros. I'm taking video one right now. She's like, you don't have to know Adobe at all. I'm like, I know Adobe. Don't you worry. So yeah, that was pretty much my summer. Had some good vacation too. Went to DC, saw my friend from high school. We flew to New York for the Yankees game. We got on the broadcast. It was
Ooh.
Pretty cool.
Oh, right.
Yankees Red Sox Friday night. So
what'd you do on the broadcast?
I did a little salute, a little hat, salute right in the beginning.
Ooh,
so
right.
It was pretty cool. So yeah, that was my summer. Pretty relaxing, but good to be back now playing Sprint football. Game Friday night, home opener. So
have we kept up with the Korean Baseball League? How's everybody doing there?
They're doing well. Actually, Major League Baseball is taking a tour to South Korea to do an exhibition series in November. So there is actually, don't want to give anything away, but there is actually a Penn alumni at MLB.com, which I contacted, seeing if he knew anyone that was overseeing that needs some content creators. So fingers crossed, knock on wood.
This gentleman right here is on top of his game. This is a poster career services child.
Doing everything right. All the things that we say on the podcast have rubbed off somehow.
Hey, all the editing, all listening to the shows over and over again.
You just hear our voices in your head now as you go to sleep.
Exactly.
And I saw you. I ran into you just last week in the recruiting suite here. You were visiting an employer, right?
Indeed. I had a one-on-one chat with DraftKings. It was pretty cool. They were on campus. Again, I know I'm a junior, but still, I haven't really had the in-person experience. I was thankful that I had this podcast, so I knew where the building was. And we might have to make a video for the YouTube channel to show other students where the building is.
We had one in the past. It's time to update, and get a new one going, yeah.
I mean, we can just add some After Effects,
exactly.
Little flashes.
Because I was like, I know it's somewhere in the building. I know it's underground, and then you go right down
there.
That's
right by where we record,
right there.
Yeah.
It's perfect. So, yeah,
we
cool
had one of the first projects Natty and I did together. We did a virtual reality how to do on-campus recruiting.
Oh.
And it was a full walkthrough, and you could watch it on YouTube and do the 360 thing, or you could, you know, watch it on your Oculus or whatever.
Wow.
and really turn your head.
The full metaverse
state
experience.
Of the art. Yeah.
See, Natty and I played the employers coming in and out of the room.
That was even before metaverse.
Get ahead of the curve.
Oh yeah, we got grant money to do it. It was sweet.
Yeah, it was fun too. Aww.
And then we took it down when COVID hit because we weren't using the suite. But maybe it's time to throw it back up.
We're back in business. I know the freshmen now trying to do what you know.
Yeah,
I mean, even my year, all years right now.
Yeah, because
nobody's had
the experience.
Had it,
and so. Natty and I remember when on-campus recruiting was really huge every day. Those rooms booked up with employers, right?
Mm-hmm.
So obviously it's a lot smaller now. But I was just looking today at who's coming to campus, and I was blown away by some of the folks who are coming.
Oh, yeah.
Paramount. Yep. Paramount Pictures is coming to campus.
I saw that. November? It's in a little bit.
October. Or November, looking for data analysts, looking for software technicians. But I was like, that's huge. That's huge.
And that's what Sam and I were talking about. You'll see even those companies that might not just be your traditional, I don't know, finance or engineering type companies like DraftKings, they're probably focusing currently on those technical roles. But you were saying you still had a good chat with them about marketing positions and other types of positions that they're going to be looking to post later, probably next semester.
It no longer makes it a cold email. You have the name of a recruiter, someone that's in that back end that it's going to be looking at resumes saying, oh, I met this person in person and I got a free croissant out of it too. So it's always good.
We're going to literally make posters of this guy.
Yes.
It's great. Linking onto that idea, I, over the weekend, was the D23 convention for the Walt Disney Corporation, and I watched some of the live stream of it, and the segment I was most interested in catching was the panel with the creators of Bob's Burgers,
ooh,
which is a favorite show of mine. And they spent quite a lot of time talking about careers. And I'm really hopeful that the recording of this will be on the YouTube channel separately, because I thought Lauren Bouchard and Kristen Schaal were giving some amazing career advice, including exactly what you're just saying, that if you – so they say we're talking to the audience, and if you are passionate about working in animation, but you are not an animator, you are not a voice artist – there's still all these other jobs that go into making Bob's Burgers. We need accountants. We need people to run our infrastructure. We need, technicians. We need marketing people. We need all of these things. Like, it's just like any
songwriters.
So you need creative staff, right? So you need all of that stuff. It's just like any other office. There's all sorts of positions available. So if your passion is animation, but you studied accounting, you can go be the accountant for Bob's Burgers, right? So sort of a way to meld your talents and your passions together.
That's why we highlight the difference between job function and industry so often, because people usually gravitate towards industry and assume that it's the same as job function, but many times it's different. Like, you might just be energized by the industry of entertainment, but really want to be an accountant. And that can work well. When I interned in the music industry, my supervisor for the music management company that I was at was the accountant of that for the band. He basically made sure that all the statements were good and that they got paid. But it was really great to have that perspective, where I was able to see all the different inner workings and different types of things that come together to make a band or the music industry work in a successful way.
They also raised what is a hot topic in career services, which is unpaid internships. And so they actually they had a student in the audience ask if they had an internship program, and they said no. And they said the reason is we don't believe in not paying people for their work. We unfortunately don't have the kind of control over a budget that we would like to say we would like to have this paid intern on staff. And so they don't have an unpaid internship. And Lauren Bouchard, who is the creator of the show and the showrunner and executive producer, said his very strong feeling is that an unpaid internship does is give an advantage to the person who can afford to do that, because you have to be able to live in Hollywood, right? An expensive town, get to and from, LA is a driving city, get out to the Fox studio, be able to afford rent or live with your parents. So it just gives an advantage to the person who can already do that, who can give their time for free. And so he said what he was interested in doing was building some sort of virtual internship experience that would be open to anybody, that they could essentially, sort of like a LinkedIn Learning class, structure a Bob's Burger internship so that you could get that experience without having to be on, you could do it on your own time.
Yeah. And that's one of the beauties of virtual work too, is there's more opportunities to have something structured and not have to be out of pocket buying an apartment, subletting usually an apartment for just 2 to 3 months or something like that. So tell us more, Sam, about your internship. You said that it seemed to go well. What kind of things do you feel like you accomplished that you're really proud of that you got to complete over this summer?
I think It was a continuation of what I'd already done before for them. They had moved me now to a YouTube role and making the podcast I was already doing for them into a YouTube capacity and into that visual component. I really enjoyed the freedom. I think that's one of the biggest things. I had a relationship with them before. I did some other experimental projects with them in the past, and they gave me a lot of opportunity to then be free and have a separate channel and really experiment what really works. Because YouTube, so oversaturated right now with content. How do you stand out? So they gave me a lot of freedom to do that, a lot of flexibility. On the negative side, though, it was also then kind of a little daunting. Then what do you do then? And I think that freelance, the biggest thing I took away from the summer is that freelance kind of component is something I don't really want to do for my career. I think I like to have a team or be part of a team that has a shared vision. Yes, I do want to lead that creative control, but I think the totality of being on your own, where that YouTube creator role, I think we had talked about that last year, and I was a part of that Zoom. It was a Zoom with a agent, a talent.
Oh, yeah.
Agent. He's for Twitch streamers, try doing that, be a YouTube creator, be a
Alex
Mr.
Don from UTA.
Try to be a Mr. Beast and then get represented. I don't think that's really the path for me, because I think there's just too much responsibility in sense of covering other aspects. So I want to be more focused on the creative or the visual role, but there still needs to be then the audio component, who's going to be doing the voiceover. There's a lot of other aspects I'd like to have some other input on that I didn't quite get to have. So it was good to experience that kind of experiment of having that complete control for that 3 months and knowing maybe that exact type of YouTube creator, that type of specific path isn't really for me going forward.
Yeah, so nice to have that support system in place when you're working at a place that has all those different types of roles there, and you learn a lot. You can kind of cross-function, learn more about different things. You can get support for when you realize that I know this much about something, but I don't quite know this extra side of it, and collaborate. I think it's a wholly different environment that it's good to kind of know the difference between that. On the flip side, there are some people who might be really invested in doing freelance work or work on their own because it gives them more freedom to do things the way that they would like to do it, or the way that they already envision it, rather than feeling like they need to be beholden to the group think of the project, whatever that might be. So it's great that you got to see kind of the balance, or like what the difference is between those and how you fit in for your own values there.
I think the biggest thing too was seeing that the work from home aspect that's been so popular now during COVID isn't for me. I like being able to go in office. It's weird having my bedroom or my dining room table be then the office. It's like work from work, home from home.
Yes.
This work from home thing, I think it didn't allow me to have a specific space to really just get into my work. Where you go to a movie, you're in a theater, that is all you're doing, right? For the work thing, I kind of like that same experience where you were there, you were experiencing it. So the freelance style, you know, maybe you go to a WeWork, but still I think having the office, having that creativity, and now knowing that, I can go into the coffee chats and say, hey, I know the work from home plan you're offering is great, but is there that opportunity to be at least near the office to be able to go in on those days and experience that kind of community and that camaraderie for the company.
I think it's interesting. I think at this table we have a spectrum here. I think Natty could work at home every day.
Yeah.
And Sam, you like to go to the office every day. And I'm right in the middle. I like being able to work at home 1 or 2 days a week to have that moment of decompression, but I can't work at home more than 2 days. I go stir crazy. Absolutely stir crazy. And yeah, and you're like, I'm in my home. And like now my home is my workspace, and
it's not
it's very
distracting. The blurred lines of it. Just then it's like when I'm done, I'm just already at home. It's like this is where I was just
now
working.
What?
Now
yeah.
what's the alternative? Go for a walk? Well, I want to relax.
God forbid
now.
We go for a walk.
I don't want to go for a walk. I want to sit on my couch, but that was my desk just 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, so. No, I understand that completely.
So yeah, I think a lot of opportunities are being presented as the work from home option, but I think for me looking forward, the office component is something I haven't experienced and really want to and would prioritize. Because even classes now, full class, every class I have now in person.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
That's one of the biggest challenges is finding the blends that make sure that all of these components, just like all three of us have a different vision for what we like, but all of those components are available for whoever it might be that comes to the company or comes to the role. Some roles might not allow for that,
right.
But when possible, especially at a larger company, finding ways to emphasize the flexibility there.
So if I'm Sam or I'm one of Sam's peers and I'm out on the search, what are some of the ways that I can try and find out this kind of information? Is it remote? Is it hybrid? Is there a chance for me to come to the office every day? I think even beyond that, just these are – work culture questions, right? Mm-hmm. So when I'm investigating a job and I'm not just seeing what the requirements are and what the salary is, how do I find out that kind of work culture kind of stuff?
Sam made a really good point earlier about saying how now that he's identified and knows this is what I want, it's given him the opportunity that when he's meeting with people, he can ask those questions and better kind of seek that out. Some of that goes into, there's lots of ways you could do that. Some of it comes into the interview piece. The interview is not just you, them interviewing you. It's also you interviewing them. So when you have that question portion, it can be great to ask about what types of support systems are in place or what types of company culture growth opportunities are there, or is there the flexibility for me to do X, Y, or Z? Those things can be great things for you to better establish for yourself. Is this somewhere I want to work? It's really easy to lose sight of that because so many times you're thinking, man, I just want this just job or this internship. So let me just put my best foot forward so that they like me. But you really need to like them too. So don't get too lost in your own value or lost in their values without considering your own values as well. It could be through networking. It could be reaching out to a Penn alum is an excellent opportunity to learn from someone who can talk to you really from an insider perspective and probably doesn't have a lot of that. When you're talking to a recruiter, obviously they're going to tell you all the best things that they can think of. They have a script sometimes even that they're probably even running through. But having a Penn alum talk to you, they can give you like a real look into what the company looks like, what they like about it, what they don't like about it. So you can see that really less biased opinion. It'll still be somewhat biased, but a little bit more of a real look into that space. But even the employer info sessions and recruiter ways that you connect with recruiters are also really valuable because at some point it's still really useful to know how the company views itself and what it's going to show to you. That can help you see what that company's values are. But it's always important to think about that next step is, can I see that they're actually fulfilling those values in the things that they do, whether that's the initiatives that they have. Maybe it's diversity initiatives. You want to make sure that you feel supported there in your role and that they have different systems in place for that, for building community there. Maybe it's flexibility from working from home, or maybe it's growth opportunities to learn new skills that you'd like to gain on the job that you think would be valuable to you. There's all sorts of different ways that you can either ask or have opportunities to talk that through.
Well, Sam did another great thing, which was he reached out to an alum.
Yep.
Right? Mm-hmm. So it's great to network with alumni, not only to say, hey, you know, if you know anyone that's going on this career trip that needs an assistant, I can, you know, I can pack a bag and be ready to go. But that's a person you can say to, hey, so what's it like at MLB.com? Like, do you work from home? Like, what's the office like? You know, what kind of things do you guys do that's not in the job description? You know, those sorts of things. That's an opportunity for an alum who has, you know, it's not an interview, so they have no reason not to be just totally honest and let you know what things are like there and whether or not you might be a good fit there. That's a great use of the Penn Network.
And people see it as transactional most of the time from that perspective of, oh, will this person give me an opportunity?
Right.
But there's so much valuable information you can gain from them. Any person you reach out to is going to be able to share their experience within the company, whether that's their specific role or just how they fit into the company culture there. Not every person is going to be able to say, oh yeah, here, I have this internship for you, or I have this exact opportunity. It's still valuable to ask them those questions, but backload it. Ask all those valuable informational things first. And then you can get to, once you've built some rapport, you've gained some valuable insight into their own role, you can then ask a question like, is there anyone else that you think would be great for me to talk to? Or say, thank you so much, been great talking with you. Would really appreciate if you see anything that you think would be a good fit for me. I'm really interested in working at this company, or something along those lines, towards the end of the conversation to kind of hint towards it.
So, I you know, the whole theme of this episode has become, do what Sam do like Sam, but it's true. I think Sam has shown some great examples of steps that he's taken. He had a really successful summer. I feel like he's going to have a really successful year. Sam, I wish you had more hours in the day because I still need a YouTube assistant, and we could give you plenty of work. But you're a busy man with your athletics and your schooling and all that jazz.
Indeed, but always making time for CS Radio. I got to figure out how to make that Paramount Plus 101. I got to figure out that handshake system and get that all down. All the cool stuff you got planned here.
Yeah, check out.
Take advantage of it.
They just put their schedules up, and it's October and November. So
awesome.
Check it out. Yeah, I was real excited to see them coming. That's a not a traditional on-campus employer, so that's really exciting that we're starting to attract that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I need to amend something I said last week. It was like bad luck. We advertised on the podcast last week that we have these new interactive charts on our website, and that afternoon they broke.
It's because we broke the internet.
Right. So the episode dropped on Monday, and Monday afternoon all the charts went offline, and we are working diligently with multiple partners across the campus to figure out what's going on. We seem to have exceeded our display limit. So we're all grateful that people are excited about it. We're glad that you tuned into the podcast and then followed the link. But unfortunately, we did. We broke the internet. So I don't know if, as you're listening to this, they're back online. But please know that we are aware of it. We are working on it. And our number one priority is getting them back online permanently. So sorry to have teased that out. And then if you saw an error message when following the link, I really apologize. But we're working real hard to get them back up. And perhaps by the time you're listening to this, it already is. Anything else on your mind, Natty, for this week?
And so you mentioned earlier how to break through the noise. What was kind of your strategy? Like, what did you do to help you break through that noise on YouTube when you're looking at content creation? What do you think works?
I think it was looking at the competitors for the niche industry that we were in for daily fantasy sports content, short form, mm-hmm. looking at what they were doing and really copying that and then improving upon that to make it your own. It was still very difficult to get a ton of views, but definitely gained more traction as you started to find that own style within what was already being done. Again, it's not too much necessarily the title, but it's also the kind of their style, what their outros and intros look like, and then giving it that specific, that your company specific, your style specific spin onto it. I think that was the best way. What you still have to do, you have to do what you see is best, but within the theme of what's already being done.
Yeah, because your audience would be confused probably if they started watching it and it seemed like it was a VTuber talking to the screen. It was like a totally different format, and there was like these different images across they didn't expect. But if it's more towards like what the industry standard is, at least they have a reference point that if it just glance value, they know, oh, this is going to suit what I want it to do. Mm-hmm. It's going to give me the information I need for my fantasy lineup. Or
you want to bend the genre, but still stay within it and kind of add that same pizzazz without throwing people off too much.
Yep.
It's fascinating.
It is. We talked about a similar conversation. I don't remember if it was on the podcast or not, but with it was more cinematography focused. How some shows, if you had someone come in and shoot it as if it was a reality show, someone's flipping through channels where they hit play on Netflix and the show starts.
And it seems different, yes.
They'd be like, wait, am I even watching the right show?
Right, which is sometimes a great narrative choice. We're mm-hmm. going to flip the style to kind of get your attention. Like, oh, what's happening this? Why does this look like a reality show? Oh, because they're doing an episode in this style. But that's a bold choice. And so I remember that conversation. We talked about how shows all have sort of a house style, so that even if like Quentin Tarantino comes in and directs a CSI, it still looks like a CSI because they have brand standards, essentially. So that is, those are definitely things you have to consider when you're making content. What's your brand? What's your client's brand? What's the, just like you said, a YouTube video and a TikTok video are not the same thing. So, it's great things to consider in this emerging field, as we say.
Go ahead.
I was saying the one thing I'd add too, which is kind of has a bigger kind of career services message too, is that the most difficult part of that, of where can I bend a genre, where do I have to stay specific to it, was I was beholden to this YouTube algorithm. I didn't know mm-hmm. what it is.
Oh, the mystery. Box. Yeah.
You don't know what it is. So I say the freelance style of doing these videos, that's not something I want to have. So for a job I go for in the future, open communication with management might be something I prioritize, saying, what is our specific goal? How can I actually target it? If my goal is more views, how do I get that to YouTube? YouTube doesn't tell that. They don't have like a customer service person. Here's what you need to do, but maybe for a different role. That having that type of communication is something I had prioritized after going through that experience.
And that helps you find the creative elements where it's like, oh, we could tweak this just this one part of it and make that stand out of doing the form maybe slightly differently to be successful with
and
it.
Then the double-edged sword because you know I've been in this situation where you say well we want to reach a wider audience. Okay, well how do you want to do that? Oh, I'll put it on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. That's its own mysterious thing. Like, what do you have? What's your specific target? Do we want to reach more freshmen? Do we want to reach more sophomores or graduate students or whatever it is? And what are the different channels we can do that on? That's the thing about an emerging. I mean, it's been around, like it's here, right? But in the grand scheme of things, it's an emerging career field. And so the people who have been in these industries a long time don't have the best grasp always on these new tools. And they know that there's something. They know that people see things on YouTube. So I want my thing on YouTube. But how does YouTube work? This is actually exactly what we were talking about. I'm part of the Hoseley Digital Literacy Fellowship. And what is digital literacy? And so the leader of this group was saying that everyone has digital facility. Like every young person knows how to work a laptop, knows how to go onto YouTube, knows how to work their cell phone. But how do those things work? So yes, we know that people see things on YouTube. I know that I can go to YouTube to find things. But how does YouTube work? How do things rise to the top on YouTube? How does YouTube know what it is that I want to watch? How does it algorithmically, how does Handshake know what sort of jobs to recommend me? How do those algorithms work? That's digital literacy, knowing what happens behind the screen.
Mm.
So I'm really excited to be part of those conversations this year. So there's a lot to look forward to in the coming year. Sam, we're going to just keep tracking your success throughout the season.
Looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to getting all these in-person career fairs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Taking them head on.
It's an exciting time. And as we teased last week, once we kind of get through this busy season of career fairs, we're going to start having more guests on the show. We've got a couple of really fun games that we want to play on the show, and we're going to start experimenting with some live streaming. So all of that is to come as we get through the month of September and the rest of these career fairs. But we look forward to seeing you, and we'll see you next time on CS Radio.
This podcast is presented by University of Pennsylvania Career Services, a division of University Life. It was created by Milan Kirshner and J. Michael DeAngelis. It was produced and hosted by J. Michael DeAngelis and Natty Leach, and mixed and edited by Sam Pasco. If you enjoyed this episode, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, or wherever you're listening. See you next time on CS Radio.
Podcast, and we'll see all of you next time on CS Radio.